Welcome. This is RAM Radio. RAM stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. The host of RAM Radio is Pastor John Coleman of Enter the Word, the Biblical Alternative. Using the Bible as his guide, Pastor John plans to equip the African-American Christian community with the tools that make the scriptures become clear for practical living and protection from the false teaching. Using the discipline of apologetics will open the eyes of the student of the Word to see God's absolute truth and the original intent of the scriptures. RAM Radio will challenge what you were taught about the Bible as well as your way of thinking and living in this world. God demands more from those who say, "I believe." Grab your Bible and pen and paper. Let's begin our study. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you so much, Mark Ramsey. In a world of professing Christians, a true believer must classify themselves as those who are justified in righteousness by their position in Christ. This divine absolutism must be affirmed by the standard of the Word of God alone. Into the Word RAM Radio, the biblical alternative, speaks to these absolutes. Into the Word, as any other true Christian ministry, must look to God's Word as the highest standard which directs our lives. We cannot attempt to minister to others unless we define who we are by what we believe as we stay into the Word. Thanks for joining us tonight for RAM Radio, the webcast, the biblical alternative on this October the 15th, Thursday night, 2009, Los Angeles, California. Nice, kind of a humid day here. Yesterday, we had rain. It was kind of cool and wet and damp, and now it's dry, and I have the windows open in the Lucy Coleman studio, and Mark Ramsey is with me here. Bob Klink is off tonight, and I thank you for joining us tonight. Mark Ramsey, how are you doing tonight?
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Mark, what I want you to do all throughout the program tonight is about every 10-20 minutes or whatnot, give my email address.
Got it.
Because I want people to correspond with me and let me know what they think about today's presentation, Surviving the New America. Can we sing the mantra? No, we can't. Are we going to survive this new America that we're living in? Every day, and I'm telling you, every single day of my life, listen, I just thought that it was me, but it's not just me. I've been getting emails and phone calls from others that read the same way that I do. And it really, really, really looks strange. Try this one on for size. Anyone can call themselves a pastor. Wait a minute. No education, no theological education, no formal schooling in Bible anything. Just pick up the book and read it the way it is. And they could have people giving them $4,000 and $5,000 a month. That's just on the beginning level. I guess they can roll off their own degrees off their own computers and have some joker sign it, or then tell somebody that God called them to do anything. And most of these people got more than one wife, can't keep a wife, and are whoremongers, calling themselves leaders in the Christian church. And the majority of our citizens would accept them and just accept it right up front. Ex-divorce, just everything. Their children, nothing like Christians. Just living for the world. But you don't question anything. But they can talk a smooth line to you. I know, because I receive once a month some correspondence from a crooked person. Every month when I tear up the correspondence and put it in the trash, I see how much money they're making and how they beguile those people. And I'm telling you that to be successful as a pastor today, a real pastor today, when you're telling the people the truth, I'd like to give you the scripture for tonight. It's Psalms 117, and it's the whole psalm. It's only two verses. It says, "Praise the Lord, all nations. Laud him, all peoples. For his loving kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord is everlasting. Praise the Lord." That is the Christian's mandate. It is a psalm of praise. We laud God, but at the same time, we're disgusted when we see something that is not of God. And most of the people that we run in contact with today in these churches, these Rick Warrens, these big, huge mega churches, 5,000 and more. These are just places where people go and hide out. And goodness knows, and I'm not saying all of them and everybody associated with that, because some of the people are absolutely serious about what they're doing. I think what they ought to do is to break off in home fellowships and save their money. But, well, most of these pastors that are pastoring these churches in the inner cities, in the black communities, most specifically where I hail, have no theological education. And they're being affirmed by money whores time and time again. No theological education. If they do get a kind of theology, they're getting it and so that they can use it to try to trick people to claim that they're pastors and even to trick themselves. And as Greg Kokel says, God never spoke to him. And of course, Dr. John MacArthur says he can't remember a time when he ever met Christ. So, but what is he doing? We'll talk about more about that. And what I'd like you to do, we were talking about it in our Bible study last night. I was giving the Bible study students the difference between rationalism and empiricism. You need to study the ancient dead French philosopher René Descartes, and you need to look up what he said about rationalism and empiricism. Because I believe that most people that call themselves pastors of church are rationalists and not empiricists because they haven't experienced the true Christ of Calvary at all. Often I find myself in tears as I ask the Lord, how could all this happen so fast in the United States of America? How could this great, wonderful country where you had, when I was a kid growing up, almost a church in every neighborhood, a Protestant church, where all the families went to church, where the pastor was educated. When he donned the robe, you knew that something was going to be said about God. Of course, in the black community, he pushed education and social issues. The black preacher has always been that, but not to the degree that we see it today. I think it's a crying shame that we no longer know what human rights is all about. We think human rights is about homosexuality and females being allowed to get in the pastorate, and God never called them to say a word in the church but amen, pass the basket, praise the Lord, and let's sing. That's about it. And maybe give a Bible verse to a woman and to a child. But to stand up and lead a man? I asked one of my African-American students in the college today, would you please tell me why it is that there's so much venom between black men and black women in our society today? This woman is in her 20s. Very nice woman. She made a pretty good score on her first paper that she wrote. As a matter of fact, she got a flat out A. And she told me that men are not the same kind of creatures, Mark, that were when I came up. She says, Mr. Coleman, you don't know what these men are. And then we began to talk. We began to talk about a lot of things. During this class session, I began to talk about utilitarianism. And utilitarianism is the doctrine that pleasure is the highest good, that whatever you do, it is for the pleasure of the person or for the demise of the person. And that most Americans are utilitarianists because they're seeking pleasure. That's why they're going to affirm this health care bill. Everybody needs, you know, some of the students told me, well, do you think it's fair for some people not to have health insurance? And one of my students, and I really like this guy, he's a nice young man, one of the nicest young African-American students that I've ever been a teacher over. And he just said, the system has beaten us up. Now it's time for us to take advantage of the system. I tried to explain to the young man, but I'm the system. I'm the taxpayer. I'm the one that's going to pay it. If you don't work, if you don't foot your way, I should pay for you. No, the young man said, yes, you pay for me. We were talking about utilitarianism, and I said, yes, I understand. Well, I'm not that. I'll never be that. And if they pass that bill, I'm sorry, just like I'm not going to take the flu shot. As a matter of fact, I got an article here about the flu shot that we're going to cover because somebody took the flu shot and it made her sick. Doctors backed the woman's claim of adverse reaction to seasonal flu vaccine. I'm going to read that to you tonight. We're going to hit on that. And then we got another article here. The judge orders the church in Los Angeles to turn the property over to an Episcopal diocese in Los Angeles. We're going to talk about St. Luke's Anglican Church in La Crescenta. Broke away from the Episcopal Church in 2006. I remember when that happened, in a dispute over biblical authority and interpretation, including consecration of an openly gay bishop. Well, they broke off. Well, guess what happened? They went to court, and the court ruled for the gay folk, and now the Episcopal Christians have to meet in a rented hall. That's the way of the church. We're going to also talk about a 15-year-old boy that's arrested 14 times. He was eyed in more than 25 burglaries. What have we done to our young people in this country? I still can't get out of my head. Riveted in my mind was the beating of the Chicago youth by other youths with a stick. They literally busted his head open. Blood in the street. And you know what? At the end of it, I saw a group of black people saying, "Help him, help him. He's dying, he's dying." These same black people were laughing ecstatically as he was beaten in the street, like they were filming it with their little cell phones. And then when they saw that it got dangerous, they said, "Help him, help him." Oh, such hypocrisy. Okay, and then lastly, I hope I get to it in this hour, Mark, California Christians worship in a big way. In other words, this article in the LA Times spoke about the state of California, where I live, has more megachurches than anywhere else in the country, with the majority in the suburbs between Los Angeles and San Diego, and their upbeat approach is luring thousands each weekend. That's interesting. My fellowships are shrinking. Am I doing something wrong? I must be doing something wrong. If they're getting thousands each weekend and they won't even come to worship where I am, I must be out of my mind. And then we're going to look at another article that Mark brought me today. 53 Republicans demand the firing of Safe School czar Kevin Jennings. Well, what they ought to do is storm his office and boycott it and picket it and be arrested for their belief system. Because you see, you can want the person to be taken out, but unless you do something. You know what? This is what I was doing. Let me ask you this question, and I want to pose it to you a way that I posed it to my philosophy students today. I said, all right, because one of the philosophy students shouted out and said, that's just utilitarianism is nothing but socialism that's happening in our country today from the abomination. And you know, I've been telling you, say it isn't so. I can't say it isn't so. It is so. You know it's so. I told you that it's so. Well, anyhow, let me get back to my commentary and then we're going to get into this. How did this happen in America? Okay. It's not about giving some people what they do not deserve. It is about what is equitable. Is it equitable for you to overtax me to take care of some lazy bum that won't get up off of his butt and get to work? And you know, I pose this question to the philosophy students. I said, Mark, if it's Christmas time and the family's over for dinner and everybody's eating, and Uncle Jed comes by, he hasn't worked for 8 years. Jed's just going from place to place, hoe to hoe, wherever he's living. Yeah. And then it's Christmas time and he's coming around and he wants a turkey dinner. He wants a plate too. He wants a cranberry pie. He wants all the good stuff. And you guys just dish it out and get it to him. I would say, Jed, when's the last time you worked, brother? Oh, well, you know, yes, I do know, Jed. I know it's Christmas Day, but go out in front of my house. There's a gutter out there. And all my neighbors got company. I want you to take that push broom and a little bucket and go out there and clean up all the trash in the street and put it in the bucket. Your way of saying thank you for the Christmas dinner. Well, I asked the students, did they think the Jed would sweep up the street and do it? Some of the students just growled at me and rolled their eyes at me. What's the matter with you, man? And so I said, so why should you allow him to eat if he doesn't work? You see, we've fallen into this mindset that we're supposed to take care of somebody that isn't worth taking care of. Well, we can't do that. It's a crying shame that we no longer know anything about true human rights. What happened to the serious thinking person that used to rule in this great land of ours? Is the reason that they used to rule in this land is a reason why is because we can't find any balance in politics, education, and especially in theology today. It all appears to be blended in together, okay? And most persons that I speak with have absolutely no idea what is going on in America today. One student did this, Mark, and I wish I had the list with me. For another class, I think it was a political science class, he had a number of 10 questions. His professor asked him to write 10 questions down to ask the students. The professor was saying, I want to show you how ignorant this generation of college students are. The questions were like, what was the name of the man that shot JFK? What was the name of the man that shot Abraham Lincoln? What happened on December the 7th, 1941? Other questions like, how many stars and stripes are in the American flag, and what are they for? I asked the 10 questions, and a great percentage of the students could not answer them. These are the future citizens of the United States of America.
Yes.
They can't answer simple questions that all of us, when we went to school, had to know.
Those things have become trivial to people in administrations that teach children.
But I told them, I bet you can tell me what the Laker score is, how many championships the Celtics won, all of the foolishness, who's on the greatest dancers in American Idol. And so you can tell me all that, but you can't tell me the important things that stand for the fundamentalism of country. We also had the a question came up in the class, and it was outstanding, Mark. I asked the men, I said, all right, so why is it, because I pick up, and you guys need to listen to me on this. I said, why is it that I pick up that you young men would not fight for this country and even to defend this country in the armed forces to defend the country? And one of my students, bless his little heart, he put it this way. He said, Mr. Coleman, I would defend this country if I would join the military that would only defend the country. But I don't believe in going across the ocean defending another person's country. And he's absolutely correct. He said it makes no sense in the world for us to become a government armed force to fight for the Afghanistans. Let the Afghanistans fight for their own country. Let the Pakistanis fight for their own country. What's happened is when you join the armed forces, they're sending you over there to die for another country,
right?
Not for your own. And so I said, man, that makes sense. That makes sense. But then I said, but would you fight and die for this country? Unfortunately, most of the male students that I asked that question of in most of my classes say no. They would fight for what? They would just say, hey, man, you just go with the next folk that's going to rule. My friends, we are living in a terrible times. It appears that those of us that live in the major cities where populations thrive are the worst off because we have the most unthinking people living in the inner cities. It is unthinkable. I was watching a video with some of the students after Bible study, well, before Bible study yesterday, and Snoop Dogg, he is a male African-American rap singer. Snoop Dogg was one of the most vulgar, aggressively vulgar rap singers that ever came on the scene of America. He is now a triple millionaire. He's a millionaire. Well, he put a video together. And he got real gang members of Bloods and Crips. You should see this video. I think you can spot it on YouTube if you look for it. He has the Bloods dressed in red bandanas and the Crips in blue, and they're in a graveyard. I am very familiar with the graveyard. It was one here in Los Angeles. And he had an open grave dug. He obviously paid for this. And he had a Blood and a Crip facing each other. Each had guns, and they shot each other when they both fell in the grave. And then the next two stepped up, shot each other, and fell in the grave. After the fifth team of guys fell in the grave, the Blood and the Crips, one of the Crips said, man, why are we doing this? And the other black man looked at him. It was a very poignant video. It really worked for me. He said, why are we doing this? And he said, what, brother? And he said, why are we doing this? And then they thought, and then he said, colors. And he said, what? He said, colors. And in the end of the video, he said, come on, man, let's sign a peace treaty and talk this thing out. And the Blood and the Crips came together. Now, what happened is when I showed this to people and they saw that it was Snoop Dogg, the Christians, they disagreed with the video. Oh, it's Snoop Dogg. It doesn't. Wait a minute. That makes more sense than anybody that I've heard, than any Christian say anything. At least he put a video together where he's trying to get people to think about, we've got to stop this genocide that we're committing against ourselves. Now you have an unregenerate, unchristian person talking like we Christians should be talking, but
right.
Who would listen to the Christian church since the Christian church have become money whores? That's why we're calling this subject matter tonight